I was looking through some sermons online the other day, reading through them, trying to pick out a good topic to talk about, and this one kind of jumped out on me, so I had to borrow part of it anyway. The idea that I want to talk about today, this morning, is having the mind of Christ. As we read in Philippians and our scripture reading, we are to have the mind that Christ had. That idea, that attitude that He had, is to be our attitude. You've heard the expression many times, concerning a father and a son. He's a chip off the old block. The apple didn't fall far from the tree. That kind of a thing. To say that is to declare that, the son is a copy. He is a close, a replica, reproduction of the father. He is growing up in his likeness. And that is, the thing that we should try to emulate, the thing that we should try to get people to say about us and Jesus and God, and is to say that that's what we are. We are a chip off of the old block of, the cornerstone, that great foundation that we have. We are to have the same values. We are to hold to the same things. We are to search out and seek out the same things that Jesus did and would command us to live by, the same way He lived. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Paul points this out in verse 1. It says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Paul is pointing out here that we are to imitate Christ. We are to grow up or build ourselves up in a manner to where we can be like Christ. And Jesus, the reason for this, Jesus is our perfect example. He is our pattern. That is how we should strive to be. Turn with me to 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, beginning in verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Peter here is explaining the reasoning why we should strive to be like Jesus, to be like Christ, because we owe Him a debt, because He has borne our sins, and He has freed us from that bondage of sin, and thus we should walk in His footsteps. Turn with me also to Philippians, the 2nd chapter. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 6. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, it says, if I'm getting on the right page. Philippians 2, 6 says, "Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men." These two verses here show that Jesus was willing to sacrifice all the glory, all the wonders of heaven, the place that He had in heaven to save us. So I want to point out to you today, this morning, that to have the mind of Christ is to be willing to sacrifice, is to have a mind that is accepting of sacrifice. Many people today, that's the furthest thing from their mind. many Christians today think that if they have to give up, you know, a little bit of something here and there, that it's just, it's horrible. You know, if they have to suffer a little bit, then it's just, it's, that's not how it's supposed to be. But I want to try to impress on our minds that to have the mind of Christ, to be like Christ, is to be willing to sacrifice. You know, Jesus gave up all those comforts. You know, the there is no tears in heaven, there is no pain, no suffering. No, he gave up all of that to save us. He came and served us who are not worthy, you know, in order to bring us closer to Him. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." You know, Jesus came and lived just like we did. He gave up all of those things that He had so that He can sympathize with us. That was the purpose of what He did, was so that He can, you know, have a bond with us and leave us an example. He was able to do everything that He was able to accomplish, every challenge we might face in life, and to lead us on to do so as well. You know, Jesus gave up His own life for us. He left perfection to go to the pain of the cross, to go through the suffering, the trial, the scourging, the mockery that He had to go through. Turn with me to John, the 10th chapter. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 17, it says, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down, you know, of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." You know, Jesus points out here that He did not have to do this. You know, nobody was making Him do this. This was a sacrifice that He made willingly for us. You know, we must be willing to have this same mind of sacrifice. We must be willing to give up things sometimes that we might not have to give them up. It might not be forced upon us, but we have to be able to realize that we need to sometimes. We need to give up some things in order to grow. Turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And he goes on to describe the behavior of a Christian through the rest of the chapter 12, and we won't take the time to read that this morning, but he says we need to give up those worldly comforts, those worldly things that might tie us down, and behave ourselves in such a way, you know, to emulate Christ, to be like Christ. We have to be willing to sacrifice worldly pleasures. We have to be willing to sacrifice our friendships with those that are of the world. We have to be willing to be shunned. We have to be willing to even separate ourselves from our family if it so calls for it. If that's what it takes to serve God and to do what He asks of us, then we must be willing, because Jesus did the same for us. He was shunned by His friends and His family for us, to save us. To have the mind of Christ not only must we have a mind of sacrifice, we must also be willing to be humble. We must have a mind of humility. Turn with me back to Philippians again. Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know, Jesus was God. Jesus was a mighty, all-powerful being. He came down to this earth and made himself into a man. You know, took that form and subjected himself to that torture. And it must have been torture to live as a man. You know, this really isn't even close, but just think about it. You know, you as a human being going down to being something like a worm or an ant. You know, the things that we are capable of now and you know, trading that, you know, to be something so insignificant in comparison. You know, that is, you know, probably not even close, but that's a, you know, idea. It put a thought in your head there of what sacrifice he made and how humble he had to have been. You know, that word means to make low, to bring to the ground. You know, humiliation would be another word you could use. That would be similar, that would portray this idea. Because Jesus was humiliated. He was dishonored. He was disgraced. He suffered humiliation for us. You know, do we get that same type of humiliation? No. But we must be willing to have our pride pricked a little bit in order to live as we should. James chapter 4 and verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. You know, we have to be willing to be humble, to put away our selfish pride in order to truly be lifted up by God and to be what He requires us to be. Turn with me also to Luke the 14th chapter. Luke 14 and verse 11. It says, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You know, Jesus had just told a parable about, you know, the taking the best place at a wedding. He says that if you do that, you know, you're liable to be come and approached by the host and moved. But if you will take the lowest place, if you will take the place that nobody else wants, then you will be exalted. And that is the idea that we should, you know, keep in our attitudes, you know, that we should not be trying to be the best out of everybody and be better than everyone else. We have to be a servant of all in order to be great in the kingdom of heaven. And we must be willing to accept humiliation gracefully. Turn with me to Acts, the fifth chapter, and verse 41 beginning. Acts chapter 5. Acts 5 and verse 41, if I can ever get there. It says, and so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. You know, here it was, you know, the apostles, you know, were basically put on trial. And the Jewish leaders basically tore them down and told them that, you know, they should not preach this name. They should not go out and preach and teach this gospel that they were doing. And they were beaten and they were, you know, done. And this was done, you know, publicly. You know, they were put to shame for Jesus. And it says they were joyful. rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer this shame for Jesus, because they realized more than anyone, the apostles did, that that was only a small token that they could show of their gratitude for Jesus and what He did for them. Turn with me also to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8 and verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." You know, Paul is stating here, you know, we should be remembering what's coming after. And that will help us with our sufferings, you know, and being humbled, and all of these things that are going to happen to us will amount to nothing compared to the reward. Also, not only should we be willing to sacrifice, have a humble attitude, we should also be willing to put ourselves last and obey. We have to have a mind of obedience. Turn with me back to Philippians, the 2nd chapter again. And if you'll notice in the last part of verse 8, it says, "Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross." You know, Jesus here was obedient. God had set this forth as a command to Him that He had to go and do this, that He had to sacrifice Himself on the cross. You know, but He didn't make Jesus do this. He asked it of Him. Jesus was obedient. Turn with me to John, the 4th chapter, and verse 34. John 4:34, it says, "Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of Him who sent me, and to finish His work.'" You know, Jesus is at this time in a Samaritan city, you know, and was talking to a lady, a woman, you know, about her faith, about being saved. And the apostles, they were bringing back food for Him to eat, and they were trying to get Him to eat. And He was in the middle of this discussion, you know, with these people. And He says, "That can wait." He says, "I'm trying to obey my Father in heaven, and that is more important than anything else." And that is the mind that we must have, that is the attitude that we must have. It should be serving God and obeying Him should be our reason for existing, for being. Turn with me also to John, the 6th chapter, and verse 38. John 6 and verse 38, it says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. For this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." You know, just as Jesus sought to do God's will, and that was His purpose of being on this earth, it should be the same for us. And Jesus was not concerned about what He wanted. He was not concerned about what He thought He needed. He glorified God and served Him through obedience. Turn with me to John, the 17th chapter. John 17 and verse 4, It says, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And this is Jesus as he is praying. It says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. You know, Jesus, as he states here in his prayer, this was what he came to do. He glorified God on earth. And he did not leave his Father's work undone. He didn't do a halfway job. He didn't start out obeying God and doing his work and then just quit, like some of us have a tendency to do. He finished. Turn with me to John 19th chapter, verse 30. It says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. You know, he, even on the cross, as he was dying, that was his mindset. He wasn't thinking about, oh, this hurts. He wasn't thinking about, why did I do this for these ungrateful, unworthy people? No, he was thinking about finishing his job. He's thinking about completing his mission. And that was to save us from our sins. He was perfect in obedience. You know, Jesus would not even let death keep him from obeying the Father. You know, and what does it take to keep us from obeying? There could be any number of things that we would quit for. Any number of things that we see people falling away for all the time. Yet Jesus was willing to go through everything to obey God. We must have that mind of obedience. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, in verse 8 beginning. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You know, Jesus didn't just, you know, automatically come down here on earth and was a perfect, you know, never messed up. No, he learned obedience just like the rest of us. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered, and he perfected it. He perfected his obedience so that he could become the author of eternal salvation for us, so that he can perfect us. We must be obedient if we expect to be saved. We must be obedient if we expect to be with him in the end, in heaven. Because everyone else aren't going to make it. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, beginning in verse 7. It says, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore we also pray that always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the thing that Jesus understood, that if we would glorify Him and the Father, then we will be glorified. Just as he knew if he glorified the Father, then he would be glorified. He would be lifted up. You know, we see that punishment awaits those who are disobedient. You know, but there's also other reasons that we should be obedient. Turn with me to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and verse 22. Well, beginning of verse 16, I should say. It says in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and verse 16, it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And he skips on down. Verse 18, it says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because he keeps his commandments and does those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." You know, the reason that we should keep his commandments, the reason that we should obey, is because he gave his life for us. Because he laid down his his God-given role as being in heaven, being creator, he gave that up. He gave up all the things that were wonderful, great, powerful things we can't even comprehend. He gave that up for us. Sometimes we can't even seem to give up this little bit, insignificant amount of things that we have on this earth to serve him. You know, there are rewards for obedience. The rewards come also in this life, but more importantly, they come in the life to come, in the everlasting, in eternity. You know, we notice what the end result was of Jesus having this mind of sacrifice, the mind of humility, and a mind of obedience. You know, turn with me back to Philippians. Philippians, the 2nd chapter. Philippians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 9. It says, "Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father." You know, God kept his promise. He exalted Jesus. He exalted him and raised him up. You know, the Father exalted Jesus. And in the end, everyone is going to know that Jesus is the Christ. And they're going to know that truly, indeed, he is worthy of all glory and honor. You know, but will it be too late? Well, will it be too late for us? Will we know that then, or do we know that now? Will we seek him out? Will we strive to obey him before it is too late? But if you wait till that day when all are going to know, when every knee shall confess and every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow, it'll be too late. You know, if we wait that long, you will have lost your chance. You know, we must have this mind in us that was in Christ in order to be exalted, in order to be ready for that day. We must be willing to sacrifice ourselves. We must be willing to humble ourselves in the sight of God. And we must be obedient. Do we have that mind? Is that the way we live? If not, we need to make it so. We need to make it so before it is too late. And that is the idea that I wanted to present this morning. If there is anyone here who would like to become a child of God, who would like to obey Jesus, would like to obey God, to believe on His Son, then, or if there is anyone who is here who would like to reaffirm that belief, who would like to repent of a sin, who would like to return to obeying, if either of those is the case, then we stand ready to assist you if you would come to the front while we stand and sing.